Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming again to we're going to convene the closed session meeting of Sunday, October 23rd, 2005. Director Sennett and Director Fouché and I are here. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you all for coming to this meeting. I'd like to announce that this is a closed session meeting, and the items listed on the agenda may be acted upon by the board. I'm going to read the closed session agenda. Yes, sir. Thank you for reminding me, Mr. Hubbard. The reporting out of the last closed session, which occurred on Thursday night, October 20th, we finished at about 2:45 a.m., and we have no reportable actions to report. Excuse me a sec. Thank you. We're trying to get in touch with people who want to be here. Okay, so here we go. This is the closed session. That was the reportable action from Thursday night at about 2:45 a.m. from the closed session. Thank you, Mr. Hubbard, for reminding me. Here we go. Pending litigation. Conference with District Counsel, re-pending litigation pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A, three cases. And the three cases are this. The Los Osos CSD versus the San Luis Obispo County Clerk case and case initiative petition in Slo Superior Court, CV50562. Los Osos Taxpayers Association versus Los Osos CSD and State Water Board in Superior Court, CV050649. And then case CCLO versus State Water Board and LOC.
Public comment regarding the being on target with what we're about to discuss today. You know, we're in a stalemate, so to speak. We can't go forward. We can't go back. We're trying to go forward. And with that in mind, I'd like constructive comment on ways we can go forward. You know we're blocked by Measure B. You know that case is on appeal, and we can't do anything. You know that the loan is in jeopardy. We're trying to compromise with the regional state water board. And if you have something to comment about that will help us deal with that, really want to hear it. If it's a comment about your anxiety about the situation, we share that with you. And with that, I'd like to hear your comments.
Okay, Mr. Hubbard.
I'm John Hubbard. Let me just hold this. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm John Hubbard. Several things. The previous board turned over $6 million in cash to you people. I imagine you're less than $1 million if you don't talk about fire funds, restricted funds. I'd hate to see money borrowed from those. It might affect the ability to give us the emergency services we need. I want to point out the homeowners that support you, that I was talking to an attorney yesterday. If you don't go ahead with the project as slated, the bonds will be in default, and the trustee of those bonds will clear it then at a fault and demand all payment of interest and principal. All homeowners that did not prepay their assessment will have to come up with the $3,000+, and if they don't, there'll be foreclosure proceedings against their house, and they'll have to pay attorney's fees also. These bonds were insured, and as an insurance executive, I can assure you that the insurance company doesn't want to pay these, so they're going to be pushing for the default and moving against your homes. I know you're going before the water board. It's the big board, and one of the conditions, I would like to know if it's true that for the water board to be willing to go into these sessions, everything had to be on the table, including building at the Tri-W site. I know for a fact that if you go out to Andre, people are gearing up to fight that, so when you go to the December 1 meeting, there'll be lots of people there. I don't want to pay fines, but there's going to be people there saying, I don't want to lose that loan. That loan is one half of the rate of the state of California GO bond. There's no way you can find funds that aren't three or four times that much, particularly if you're in default and you have a junk bond status. You'll be borrowing at double-digit rates. And it's just going to mean $400 a month will look cheap before this is over with. So please move forward and get this construction going. And maybe later, if you don't like the plant, we can build another one or something. But you know, it's just going to be devastating for people that don't have big bank accounts. They are going to be gone. Do your people really, really want that?
Thank you, sir.
The citizens, the residents, voters, et cetera, recognize that the burden is not just on your shoulders, it is on our shoulders also. And we also want to make sure that our representatives at the state level, particularly, including Blakeslee and Maldonado, and of course our Senator Capps, and most especially our Governor Schwarzenegger, we are going to rely on these people more than ever to pay attention to what's happening here and to give us their support. We realize there's an election coming up on broader issues, so it's going to take a real concerted effort on behalf of all of us, writing letters, sending faxes, doing emails, making phone calls, everything we can do this week to make a difference in what's going on and what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak this morning? Mr. Bearden.
I attended the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting in Santa Barbara last Friday. I urged that board to use every means at their disposal to compel the Los Osos CSD to continue with the present wastewater project as is. Before I spoke there, I listened to the City of Hollister politely ask for a compliance deadline extension request of approximately 2 years. They got their request, but still got fined. You can read all about their woes on the Regional Water Board website. If you want to move this project out of town, you'll need at least 2 or 3 more years to do it. I don't like the confrontational attitude that this board has been taking with the state and regional water boards. You think that Measure B, an ordinance of the Los Osos CSD, gives you carte blanche to do whatever you please. The water boards are enforcing state laws. They don't care about Measure B. You can continue on the path you have chosen until the Los Osos Community Service District is broke and disbanded. Then there will be no more Measure B. Without a Los Osos CSD, some other entity will be required by the water boards to complete the Los Osos wastewater project as designed, permitted, and started. The only thing this board will have accomplished is to destroy itself and increase the price of this project even more than it is already. The best thing this board can do is to admit your mistake to the state and water board, get our money flowing again, and immediately restart all phases of construction. You then should write a letter of apology to the regional water board and throw yourselves on their mercy. Maybe you can get the fines reduced. I believe that any other course of action will be disastrous. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak? Mr. Sparks?
I'd encourage the board to make sure you enter into negotiations next week in good faith with the state.
Thank you, sir. Ms. McNeil, did you wish to speak? Were you? Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw you.
As many of you know, my name is Vivian McNeil, and I am a resident and property owner here in Los Osos. I have been a strong supporter.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak this morning? Sir?
Hi, I'm Peter Arnold. I've lived Prohibition Zone, and I voted for the Tri-W assessment, which was voted for by over 80% of the property owners, which some people on the board don't seem to recognize. You're just representing the one-third of the voters who voted for you, and the rest of us are not being represented. You should represent the whole community. 80% of the property owners voted for that, and you need to back our wishes. We're part of the community, but so far we've been ignored. And I don't know if you all watched the state water board meeting that Minot Grove was fined at, and Jeffrey Young at the end of the meeting said that Julie Tacker didn't know what she's talking about. And they tend to raise fines, not lower them, and we're going to lose the loan, and the fines do not come back to the community. So that money's going to be gone. You need to ignore what Julie Tacker says. She doesn't know what she's talking about when it comes to that. And the state water board said that. So I urge you to go to the negotiations and put everything on the table and move forward with the project, because you seem to be hiding behind Measure B, which is fine for the CSD, but if you hide behind that, they'll come after us property owners. It doesn't protect us. We're not protected because we supposedly voted for it, so we're going to be fined. They're going to see us as throwing dirt in their face, say we don't want a sewer, but we do. And you need to take that consideration. And I'd like to know if there's some secret negotiations going behind on the Andre property. I've heard rumors to that effect that you're negotiating with the Andres. And I don't see how the Measure B seems to apply to that also, because there's a church across the street and it's next to the cemetery. And people gather there, and so that's going to be illegal also. Measure B isn't going to allow that either. So you need to consider that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. For what it's worth, quick comment. Out of our board of five, there are 4.5 of us who voted for the assessment as well. We are all property owners, and we all voted for the assessment as Mr. Arnold did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Martha Nader, Los Osos. I also agree that standing behind Measure B is a cop-out, and I think that is really easy for you all to stand up and say that. What's harder and what's expected of you as elected officials is to not do what's easy, but to do what's right. And to look at the facts, look at the fines, look at the money we're spending, look at where we're driving our community. And you need to go back to the permitted project in light of all of the costs and all of the fines that we're facing. Do what's right. It may not be easy, but it's right. And you need to do that so that this community can start to heal and move forward. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Mm-hmm. Would anyone else like to speak, please? Yes. Sorry about the ducking under the tree there.
I am Keith Miller, also in Los Osos, and since you're at a stalemate, I think this is maybe a good time for the directors to define affordability. And once you define what affordable is, we can compare that number to the expected costs of moving a sewer and breaking our contracts and see if you really should be heading down this road. And also, just kind of a disturbing development, just in the last week or so, I've noticed the editorial is coming out against the regional board and Roger Brown.
Hands of the board that exists today. So there are some pluses and minuses. But to say that the board is copping out and using it, it's not. It's the law. The people passed it, we voted for it, and that's what it is. So we have to accept it. So don't blame this board. And if you want to talk about the regional board, where was the regional board for 30 years for water conservation, for septic management, for the things, if they're really concerned about the groundwater and preserving it and preventing saltwater intrusion, where were they? Instead, for some reason, politically, they allowed 3 sewers to be designed, and we failed. And now we have an opportunity to do what the will of the people is. It was, even though it wasn't a big win, it was a majority win. And people have to accept that the opposition to the last project were called the vocal minority. That's not true. It was a majority of the community that voted for this project. And it's the people that voted. I see you shaking your head. The majority of the people that voted, not all the community, but the people that voted, voted to recall the directors. And for Mr. Gustafson to say what he did in the editorial and then accuse someone of lying, he's an absolute liar for what he said in his editorial. Okay.
Mr. Perkins, please.
But I encourage, I think that everybody has to look at what this board is trying to do, what the staff is trying to do, is negotiate with our elected officials and our agencies to work this out. And to try and oppose that, to me, is just ludicrous and hypocritical by those that oppose it. They're trying to work this whole thing out. They're trying to salvage it. And I think you need to give them a chance to do that. They've been in office, almost 3 weeks now, so. And they have been transparent. There hasn't been anything negotiated behind the scenes. Everything's been up front. You know, when we voted for, when the Tri-W site was selected, Mr. Buell said on tape that I have, you know, I'm going to ask the board to enter into negotiations for the Tri-W site. Who went out there and found the Tri-W site? It was selected, okay? And just because there's a property available doesn't mean that they've negotiated and they've already made a deal. You'll know about it, and you'll know about the other options. So don't throw this kind of stuff out. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Fergus.
Hello, Jean Fergus, Los Osos property owner. I guess I'm getting tired of the name-calling and the blaming. I've had an opportunity to shake hands with two of our new board members, and I feel that they're extremely intelligent and flexible people, and I trust them to do the very best they can. And I do understand that they are being hamstrung by Proposition B. Now, is there, if they can find any way in that it, Proposition B is being questioned in the courts, is there any way that because it's being questioned that we can put Proposition B aside and keep going with what we're doing and get the funds rolling again? It seems like B is, and I understand, is the problem. How do we get around this? Because I have confidence that you have the flexibility to say to our leaders, okay, let's just go on with what we were doing originally and work it out as we go. I trust you to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker?
That's my phone. It's in your pocket. Just turn it off. It's probably on. We're going to pick up the speakerphone for him. Pardon me. Mr. Margeson.
Richard Margeson. I'm going to address first the $6 million comment by Stan in the newspaper. Lisa's absolutely right. Those were funds from the state revolving fund loan. And I think the board needs to take a real close look at the wording in resolution number 2005-11, both sections, in the whereas section and then in the resolution section, and try to ascertain whether that $5,658,000 was to pay contractors or was reimbursement under the allowance section of the contract. But that's for another time. Actually, when the board left office, one or two meetings before they were recalled, there was a resolution to borrow $500,000 from the water department. We asked for cash flow analysis for over probably a year. Never did get an accurate number from Mr. Buell. And when they left office, that district did not have $6 million of district funds. They were close to bankrupt. And they cut it so thin, thinking the election was going to be a slam dunk, that they took the chance of leaving this district bankrupt before those funds were available. And people talk about you can't borrow from other departments. I don't think you should. But let's remember back when this board, the previous board, borrowed from the fire department in anticipation that the bonds would be sold. Now, what if those bonds hadn't have been sold? Or what if the assessment hadn't have worked out? Where do you think the district would have been then? Where do you think the fire department would have been at that point, borrowing all that money from the fire department? People talked about the $6 million.
It has to do with the closed session because it's about the loans and the money.
And as far as the it's history, they need to go forward. And as far as the water board, apologizing to the regional board, Mr. Briggs has made it his personal quest for the last 2 years to manipulate the process here in the community and the election. And Mr. Bearden, is that? Oh, sorry. He was at the State Water Board meeting. I was also there to let the board know, and some of them acted as if they didn't have that information that Lori Okun, the attorney, senior staff attorney for the regional board, was sitting at the table with the taxpayer watch at the hearing on October 6th. That should be disturbing to everybody. She was not a party, and the Water Board nor the State Water Board were a party to that action that day. So if anybody owes anybody an apology, the Regional Board and the State Board owe this community an apology for that action all by itself. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Frederick, sir.
Good morning. Sharon Frederick, Lasoso, resident for 15 years. And point of clarification, Mr. Markinson has come to the podium, and he never identifies what community he lives in. And my understanding is that he now has gone to the Regional Quality Board and represented our community. So when he does come to the podium, would he please identify the residents in Lasoso and his address or his location? Because I've been told he doesn't even live here. Maybe that's not true, but I have been told that. So when you come up, you know, just go ahead and identify.
Let's just let Ms. Frederick talk, so I have a comment to make about that.
I too echo what many people have said. We want you to negotiate honestly and direct with the Regional Quality Board. They are our state agency. I'm not confident that Measure B is actually an obstacle, and I believe that if we take a little initiative, and I'd be willing to meet with an attorney with you, actually talk to them, and see if we actually have that as an obstacle. And so I know that the three of you are elected and believe that we couldn't do this project. I think now what we're seeing is, in fact, that our state agencies are forcing us to do it. I honor that you had a difference of opinion. I don't think that is now available to us. I've talked to Sam Blakesley's office last week. I talked to Abe Maldonado's office. They're encouraging us to build the project. They're very concerned that we are going to have fines. They're very concerned that the Regional Quality Board will not negotiate anything. So, you know, everybody makes mistakes, I included. We are all human beings. We've made a mistake. The community is going to back this board up if we go ahead and do the project. If you don't, a lot of us are going to be in dire straits. And I mention that every time I come to the podium, that I serve clients in this community that will be forced to move, that are disabled. So I just encourage you. Some of us will not have to move. We have income. We're able-bodied. Other people will have to move. I encourage you to not upset the Regional Quality Board. They're not our friends now. I know when you deal with state bureaucracy, when you upset them, they get upset. They are upset. I think we just try to, you know, lick our wounds, move forward on the project. I do have three questions that I would like answered, either today or in writing. Since these questions regarding how much money is currently in the district accounts were asked Thursday and no one had an answer, has anyone looked at the checkbook yet? Does anybody know how much money we actually have in our checkbook? How much money do we have to initiate or defend a lawsuit or administrative action? What accounts would be used to draw funds to initiate or defend a lawsuit or administrative action? I personally do not want to spend any more money on lawsuits. I don't think that's where any of us who work hard every day want to put our money into giving money to attorneys. Thank you.
Yes. Two brief comments in response to Ms. Frederick. The Brown Act does not require you to identify yourself in any way, actually. And so it is your right to identify yourself and where you're from at the podium. So that was the response to that. And then the other comment about the money, we did vote the first night to do the audits, and we hope to have that information for you as soon as possible. Yes, Mr. Perkins.
John Perkins, Los Osos. I've got some prepared remarks, but I'm not going to make them because I feel that it's futile. I do want to repeat what I said to Director Senate this morning. You're between a rock and a hard place. If you feel you're obligated under Proposition B, and you may well be, I feel the community is going in the wrong direction. We need to come together, and I urge you to keep all of the options on the table. Don't say, like I heard some of you say already, the other proposition is dead. I mean, the other project is dead. It's not. Keep it on the table. You're trying to negotiate with a state water board. The state water board is trying to enforce a law. They feel they're right that we're polluting the groundwater. You're between a rock and a hard place. And about what you just made remarks on the Brown Act, I understand you're correct, but let's change the rules. You've been printing on your papers every day and begin by stating your name and community of residence. Now, if you're not going to require that, take it out. Let's stop being so hypocritical, okay? Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak? Ms. Albright, I'm just looking right now on the agenda, and I'm agreeing with Mr. Perkins. Yes, Ms. Albright.
Joyce Albright, Los Osos. Time is rapidly running out for Los Osos. It can't have escaped your notice that there have been a number of new faces speaking at the meetings in favor of restarting the project on the Tri-W site. Those individuals who are convinced that the recall and measure would not have succeeded are now coming out of the woodwork. You may have also noticed that they are intelligent and informed. I implore you to listen to these citizens. You have absolutely no data to substantiate the claim that you can produce a better, cheaper sewer. But there is abundant data as to how much money has been spent on the existing project, the pending penalties and fines, the lost grants, and the potential lost financing and contracts, which can never be replaced at the same low rates. The previous board had to change direction when the ponding system would not work, and I'm sure they were extremely unhappy to be put in that situation. But they did what was best for the community in order to get the sewer for Los Osos. They steadily moved ahead with the process, despite attempted delays, thus avoiding fines and keeping the low-interest loan. I implore you now to rethink what you are doing. Do not base your actions on an erroneous concept which has proved itself to be unworkable. Why continue in this quagmire of lawsuits and negotiations seeking alternatives that do not exist? Do what is best for your community. Restart the sewer at the Tri-W site. Then all of those problems will go away and we can get on with Los Osos' goal of resolving our wastewater problems. The shame is not in changing one's mind, but in continuing on a course that is sure to bankrupt the yellow CSD and lead to having the community build the same project at the same place for a cost hugely more to Los Osos property owners. Do you really want that to be your legacy?
Thank you, Ms. Albright. Did anyone else? Miss Lacey? Miss Cooper. Sorry, Miss Lacey. Southern Belle. Sorry about that.
Miss Lacey's coming up. I'm not from this state, even. I'm from the South. And in the South, we had problems with civil rights. And if nobody had come from out of the area and helped us, we still would be having separate votes. The point being is that people can speak here who are from outside the area because they have concerns about the environment. And I've just heard a lot of stuff. I'm not here to convince the people in the audience because they seem to know everything already. And I disagree with the previous speaker that the people that are coming out aren't well informed. Because just one example, the ponding system, Canadian firm has built them all over the United States and Canada. Ponding systems have evolved. There's details I'm not going to go into now of why the ponding system wasn't going to work there. I was one of the 80% who voted over here. For the fact is that it was a buried plan at that time. It wasn't listed on the ballot. It became a 40-foot high conventional sewer. So if you want to talk about facts, you need to get educated. You need to stop just talking in your own circles and look at the dreaded enemy other side information. Okay, you need to get educated because it is a complicated problem and it goes back 30 years. And yes, the water boards do have culpability. It's not this board who's been here for 20 days. So you really do, if you think you know everything, you're just kind of spinning in your own head. Because there's a lot of facts out there that you don't know. And I am concerned with the opposition because they don't seem to give a hoot and a holler about the environment. There's reasons that people want step stag. There's reasons that they want modern ponding system. It has to do with sludge. You're not looking at costs down the road. You're not looking at operation and maintenance. You're not looking at 13 operators. you know, and I'm hoping I'm speaking to the people at home, because the people in the audience here have already closed their mind, as they've shown by their, you know, their comments. They want this board to go ahead to play it safe. What is safe about a non-sustainable sewer in the middle of our town? What is safe about that? You tell me. There's a lot of drawbacks. You people weren't here when it was 46% overbid. You just act like children. You go, oh, whatever you guys want to do. It's your own private company, Stan and all those people.
Towards me.
Okay? You know, all those people are, they were acting like they were your parents or was their own private company. The water board isn't your parents. You're adults. You negotiate for your community. You stand up for your community. The fines are not written in stone. In fact, they're violating their own, you know, their own work order thing. Number 13 says that they aren't supposed to do punitive fines. If you want to open your mind and look at this stuff and stand up and have a spine, if the guys before had a spine and included us, they wouldn't be out on the street today. Okay, so you need to look at the whole damn thing instead of spinning it like an election. All right? Thank you.
Ms. Cooper. Mr. Fergus.
President Zicker, board members, or at least the ones that are here. Well, I take offense to what was just said. I don't see any children here. I don't. In fact, everybody looks like at least over the age of 25. And so the first thing I'd like to do is counter what she said and also bring up a couple points. First of all, I was for the ponding system, and I still am, actually. I think it's a great idea. I think that it's a natural process. It has been done successfully in Canada and other locations, but there are places where things can be done, and the other locations that can't. My understanding is that the ponding system was examined. Now, I don't have all the details. I could be off. I could be uninformed, as the woman who just came up. However, if you can get a ponding system through without jeopardizing the state loan, that's great. That's great. That's wonderful. You know, there it is. I'd like to make a second point, which is, I haven't seen such an informed audience in my life. You guys have a degree of articulation, either side, whichever you're on. You are becoming public speakers, all of you. You are great. Really, you are. My next topic is litigation. And involving litigation, because I have a friend of mine who's a multi-millionaire, and he has 9 cars, 2 of them are Ferraris, 2 Vipers. He's got, I think, 2 of everything. And as a personal injury attorney, I've had the chance to hear a lot of things about how the process works, although I am not an attorney. So what is the point I'm going to make about litigation and the road you're going down? Well, the road I would suggest going down is the road that takes the least amount of litigation, because litigation leads to more litigation. And Al Burrell has been very successful, whether you like him or not. He's been extremely successful at being able to continue and create litigation and delays. And so that's the direction I would go. My last item is a note of encouragement, and it's to 3 gentlemen which are there's just a freshness about the 3 gentlemen that is very delightful. A freshness, an openness, an open-mindedness, a curiosity. I put my faith in these guys. I think these men not only have the power to, not only have the power and the control to make a difference, regardless of which way we go, but I'll put my money on them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak today? Mr. Perlman?
Yeah. Perlman from the Prohibition, about a mile in that direction.
A little
Prohibition
bit closer.
Zone.
A little bit closer.
Is where I live.
There you go.
And I'm not an expert on sewers, but I know a little bit about them. A sewer is a sewer is a sewer. There's no huge, great differences in technology. These are things that can be changed. The drainage systems, which is already been put in place can work for any number of configurations of sewers. The people who live here have voted very recently, and I think it would be wrong to sort of say, oh, that can't count, because maybe in this form of democracy, 49% and 51% are that close. The truth of the fact is that the people of this town have chosen to put their faith in these people. These people, by the way, I think could put in a, even if worst-case scenario, and I do say worst-case scenario, the old CSD3 sewer were to put in, these people will be putting it in there much more effectively and much more cheaply than the previous crew. But we don't have to do that, because a sewer is a sewer is a sewer. And from the time that Bears did their business in Elephant Forest, there are processes that take care of that. We will need to improve the waste management and water consumption in this area if it's to be sustained. We the people who live here, and people who own property in this area, need to be able to maintain this beautiful place, the bay and all, and so forth. And this will take place. Even as we speak right now, bacteria are breaking nitrogen out in those dunes, in the septic tanks. It is working. We're in no crisis. What we're dealing here is a negotiation with the state. You are people who can vote. You can call your representatives. I'm talking specifically to a group identified as Dreamers. You can get involved. There's nothing wrong with having a sewer out of town. Don't be afraid of the water board. The water board has so far fined Monarch Grove, who are doing their best. And I do have a technical issue with that, because if I'm not mistaken, they're trying to find the rest of the community. They're trying to find the prohibition zone for things that happen in Monarch Grove. So I think there's an issue you guys may want to address in terms of double fining. But also the question of the loan, you guys can go ahead and approach it, because the collection system is already in place. The stop of funding that has taken place is definitely going to increase the cost, and it's not these guys' faults that that's happened. And it's not even only the fault of the people who started the project before the election. The real fault is that the truth of the fact is, no matter which way you cut it, pipes are going to have to be in the ground, and we might as well convince the state that the best interest of everybody is continuing with that piping. But there's no crisis. The new sewer, as in the tri-double site, was not going to cure cancer. It was not going to clean up the bay any more than any other sewer that the people of this town can be in control of and can cause to come into existence. So in some respects, this whole project is like a log that's floating down in the stream, and the ants on it, each one of them thinks they're steering. Now the log is flipped over, and there's a whole bunch of other ants. And are they steering it, or is it just going to go into some paper mill and get chopped up and become completely unrecognizable? I think these people, with your help, can steer this log away from the paper mill. We can maintain this community as it is. There are sufficient resources. We can clean up our water. And people who should be living in this empty sandy lot that's about a few houses away from me, they can build there. There is room for that. And these people can bring it to you. And if you come over and talk to the state, the people in the state, they're the ones that don't live here.
Mr. Perlman, could you sum up? Just sum up.
Support them.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Ms. Oakes?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Pam Oakes, Los Osos.
Microphone.
Okay. Pam Oakes, Los Osos, and president of LADA. And as far as, here are my comments, first of all. I do want everybody to become educated. We have a lawsuit against the State Water Board. They broke federal and state law by making this loan without a dedicated source of revenue from the district. The district stated that they didn't have a dedicated source of revenue, and they would have to do so by the sources of funds couldn't be dedicated without the people's consent, which is the 218. We didn't get that. So if the state loan wasn't a legal one, then the project probably wasn't legal. So if the past CSD three directors knowingly started the work, knowing it was illegal, with the contractors, then they misappropriated funds. And since the state loan involves federal dollars, we can't do a class action lawsuit against them. But they should be investigated on a federal level, the FBI. I've talked to Dianne Feinstein's top girl. She agrees with me. She's seen the paperwork, the lawsuit, and there's something wrong here. So, yes, do become educated. The State Water Board's attorney is Attorney General. The State Board only has to answer to the governor. So there's a lot of power there. So when they do break the law, we don't have any protection other than hiring our own attorneys to fight them and having the whole matter investigated on the highest level for everyone who knowingly broke state and federal law. LADA's attorneys have sent out a letter to Roger Briggs, I believe it was dated October 11th, demanding by law with him to respond to 10 days of all sources of pollution. We aren't the heavy polluters that we've been told we are. There are Duke Energy, it's Men's Colony, there's a list of so many. It's not us. Anyway, so that should be responded. He has to respond to that by this week, and I'll give the community his response. If anybody wants a copy of the letter that we did send to Roger Briggs, let me know too. But a real concern here of mine is that this particular sewer plant that's been designed, this mega sewer with the mega loan, is an experimental sewer. And if they go and take out our septic tanks and this sewer fails, do they condemn our homes? Does anybody know? Are our homes going to be condemned? This affects the whole community. There are no sides here. So in my opinion, I think we should wait. I think this loan is illegal. I think we should do a legal loan, start all over again, and do it by the law. That's about all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Oaks. Would anyone else like to speak this morning? Mr. Cooper.
I want to agree with Ms. Lacey about a lot of things she said. Richard Markinson, for example, does not need to live in this community. He works here. He owns property here. When Ms. Lacey started getting off about the civil rights, it's a good point, where if the Northerners didn't go down to help in the South, civil rights would have been held up. You don't have to be a resident someplace to be really concerned to really help things go forward. And Richard's been a tremendous help, in my opinion, about helping things go forward in terms of clarification and so on. I think Ms. Lacey's also right about a lot of ignorance going on. I think that people who are now shaking their heads, even as I speak, and smiling, are ignorant in certain ways about the facts. I'm not completely in touch with the alternatives to what they already believe, and I think to examine that would be worth everybody's while. I think ignorance is not a right, it's a curse. That you, to do the wrong thing, to do a foolish thing is not a right, it's a distortion, and I'd like everybody to struggle with looking clearly. It's okay to disagree, I think, in the end. I certainly have my opinion, but I think to struggle to say, well, maybe they're right, let's try it, and let's really give it a real shot, I don't think it's happened as much as I would like to see happen. Negotiating, I think, is the way to go. I think there is no choice but to negotiate. I think it's a very reasonable thing to negotiate. And I think we have the right people out there doing that. I want to caution our guys not to give away things too quickly, to hold on to all the good things. From my own side, for an example from my side is trenching, not to give that away so much as to have that as a negotiating position, because I think directional boring is a preferable position. Hold on to your most preferable positions all the way through and give as you need to give. That's what negotiating is about. So to be careful and cautious on that kind of thing. I have a little concern about the, I don't know the gentleman's name, the dramatic gentleman with the green coat. Mr. John Fergus, thank you. When he talks about the three men having all that yay for the three men, that sounds to me like a little bit of a blast on the wonderful two women who are on the board. And if that is the case, and I'm not clear, but if that is the case, that greatly concerns me. The two women are great heroes of mine. I think should be great heroes of the community, and all five of them can work together towards the betterment for all of us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak this morning? Anybody else interested in public comment on this closed session agenda? I just have maybe the other directors have another statement too, but I know we sense, as Director Sennett stated, we sense your anxiety and we sense your concern, and we are out for the best interests of all citizens. We really are, and we're hoping that we can start mending some fences. We really do. That's our intent, and I pledge to you to be continuing polite and professional with everybody in the audience. And just to assure you that all of us have been involved in citizen groups. We formed a task force. We've been studying and working on the details of this project for at least 3 years now. And we want to get those facts out to you. We want to explain to you why we are so concerned about the project that was designed. And you may or may not agree with us, but if you get the facts, it might help a little bit to understand why we're coming from the point we're coming from, why we all ran on a move the sewer ticket, never a no sewer ticket, never a no clean water ticket, none of us, ever. But to move it, that's all, and to get a better project that meets all water goals, not just a few. So I indulge your patience, and I promise you I will get this information. We will, piece by piece, we'll get this information to you as fast as we can, so it might be easier to understand where we're coming from. But I thank you all for your comments again. Would any other directors like a statement at this time?
Just a quick statement. This is a very complicated situation, and it requires a complicated solution. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to lay things out in a matrix that makes sense to everybody, including ourselves. So that's where what we're doing now. We've been trying to work that for the last couple of weeks, and we're still working on it. And hopefully this week is going to be very productive. Measure B is complicated. It is the law. As of today, for Los Osos, CSD, it's our law, so we have to consider that. And we have to consider all of the issues. There's just so many issues out there. It's not just one. It's not clear cut. And so there's going to be some give and take, I think, everywhere. And one last thing I would like to say, and I'm going to say this every time I get up to the microphone, we all need to conserve our water. And we haven't done a very good job of that, I don't believe, to date. And I'm asking the community to start conserving water any way they can, because we need to do that. We're in a severity level of 3 with saltwater intrusion. It's just been recognized with the last saltwater intrusion report that's just been released a few months ago. That's preliminary, decided by the county. It's not official. I will say that again. It's not an official statement, but that was our preliminary read on that. And we have to do everything we can to conserve our precious water that we have. Bear with us. We're working the issues, and I can't say that sincerely enough. And we're doing that with the whole community in mind. Thank you.
Just one final closing statement. I just wanted to tell you that all of us are absolutely flattered and honored that Assemblyman Sam Blakesley has been willing to come in and to look at the issue, and encourage all of you to voice your opinions to him as well. He's very open and very concerned, and he's a problem solver. And we're very moved that he is willing to try to work with our community, and we hope to work cooperatively with him. We anticipate our closed session will be about 2 hours. We're planning another meeting, a special meeting, on Wednesday night. That's what it stands right now. We could report out of closed session in about 2 hours if you're here. And what I was going to do is call Mr. Lloyd back when we know for sure, or we will also report again out of closed session on Wednesday at our meeting, so to make sure that you're all informed, and we'll make sure the press is informed as well. So thank you all for coming very much. Okay. We could post it here, too, couldn't we, Ms. McNeil? Good idea. We'll do that. Good idea.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.